God is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. Well, that's one of my favourite psalms, and it tells so many different things. I just want to ask you the question before we start. What are your expectations for the future? How is your life going to be? Is it going to be happy, healthy, strong, protected, blessed? Or are you going to have difficulties, problems, confusion? How confident are you of the goodness of the Lord in your future? Of course, as Christians, none of us are immune from problems. We live in the same world as everybody else. You know, we have cars that wear out. We have houses that cost money. We walk around next to people that have flu and all sorts of, you know, the darkness, the brokenness that is in the world is also, well, we live in the same world as everybody else, don't we? How are we doing with that PowerPoint? Is it coming? Say again? It's not yet. It'll come. In the natural, David also had a lot of issues that were difficult for him. Just in this psalm alone, he talks about the wicked advance against me to devour me. He says, an army besieges me. Now that's a pretty extreme situation, isn't it? Not many of us have been besieged literally by an army. David was. He said, war breaks out against me. Well, sometimes we can have a bad day, can't we? And it seems like all war has broken out against me. With David, literally 10,000 soldiers came to try and kill him. He said, my father and my mother forsake me. That was David's experience in his family. His father thought he was so insignificant that he didn't even bother to invite him when the prophet Samuel came for lunch at their house. False witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations, he said. You might think people are saying bad things about you, gossiping and, you know, bringing down your good name. Well, for David, false witnesses were rising up and spouting malicious, untrue accusations. So if that was you, all those things were happening to you, what would be your expectation of how your day was going to go? You know, all those things combined as you wake up on a Monday morning. You look at your phone and it's got 5 reminders and it's all those things. There's an army against me, malicious witnesses, my father and mother hate me. What would you feel like? How would you be praying? What would come out of your mouth? And so firstly, I just want to say that we need to beware of a negative, fearful attitude. So many people go through life with this negative, fearful attitude. I don't know if you're naturally an optimist or a pessimist. I think I'm an optimist. That's just the way I am. And some people are more melancholic. You know, they're born with their glass half empty. They say a pessimist is the discourager of his own convictions. And I've said this a few times before. I had a grandma, she's died now, but she was the greatest pessimist I've ever met in my life. She was unbelievable. You'd go around to see her and it would be a beautiful blue sky, sunny day, and you'd say, "Hi, Grandma, isn't it lovely weather?" And she'd go, "Yes, it's probably going to rain and spoil itself later." And you'd say, "How are you, Grandma? How are you feeling?" And she'd say, "Oh, I feel absolutely fine, but probably I'll catch a cold soon." You know, it was always that she'd buy a new fridge and it probably won't last long. It'll go wrong like the last one. And everything that happened in her life, she, you know, saw the negative thing. We're catching up with the slides very fast. And, you know, she was healed of asthma one time. She had really bad asthma. And it got worse and worse so that she had to have inhaler, then a mask, and having oxygen, steroids, and all of that. And she went to a meeting where she was miraculously healed one day, completely healed, no trace of a wheeze or anything. And for a few weeks, it was great. You know, "How are you, Grandma?" "Oh, it's amazing. I can't believe it's true. Honestly, you know, it's just amazing." Then a few weeks later, it would be, "I feel fine, but it'll probably come back soon." Do you know that, honestly? And she had no wheeze, and she was going, "I'm fine, touch wood, but probably it'll come back one day." And do you know what? It took about 2 or 3 years, but her asthma came back. And it was never as bad as it had been. But it was that fearful, negative attitude, you know, thinking that the light at the end of the tunnel was a train coming to run you over. That was my grandma. And some people think, "Well, it's all right for you. You're naturally an optimist. I'm naturally a pessimist." But it's actually not all right to be pessimistic. You know, the Bible says, "See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many." A negative, fearful attitude will actually bring trouble into your life. It says in Proverbs, we know this scripture, "The tongue has the power of life and death." And I'm sure that my grandma speaking those words over and over herself, they actually brought into her life trouble. They defiled her future. You know, we speak negative words. It's not just ourselves, but it defiles those around us. They start catching our unbelief and our negativity. When I was in my mid-30s, my mum told me one time, she said, "My dad," she was saying of her dad, she said, "when he got to about 45, he developed gout, and it was really painful in his feet. It was terrible." And she said, I can't remember how old she was then, but she said, it came to me as well when I was about 45, I started to get this pain in my feet. She said, you know, it's one of those genetic things, you know, gout. She said, my dad had it and I got it when I'm 45. So you be careful, because when you get to that age, probably you'll get it too. What should I think in that circumstance? Now, it depends on what is the light that you look out at the world with. When we were kids, we used to have different coloured light bulbs, and we used to love changing the light bulbs, you know, putting red ones in. And this is a room in a red light. And doesn't it look scary? It looks kind of spooky. We used to love, you know, putting the lights and then putting sheets over our head and going, woo, and, you know, pretending we were ghosts and trying to scare each other. But you change the light, everything looks different. And today we actually live in a world that is dominated by fear. Much more so than a generation ago, the world is dominated by fear. People out there live with much greater fear, fear of terrorist attack, fear of cancer, even though 30 years ago cancer was incurable. Today many cancers can be cured. Fear of being alone, fear of death, fear of running out of money, fear of the future, fear of crime. All these fears, they're actually greater in people now than they were a generation ago. When I was a kid, you know, all the kids just used to go out and play out. I'd go out in the morning, I'd have my breakfast. My mum might not see me till 6 o'clock at night. She would have no fear. I could be miles away, you know, no mobile phone. And I'd cycle 15 miles to Hull and be milling around Hull as a sort of 10, 11-year-old by myself. And that's just what kids did in those days, and parents thought that was fine. Do you know what? Statistically, there are a lot less child abductions today than there were then. I actually looked at the figures before. There's less child murders, there's less crime. The world is a safer place now than it was then. Children have much more security on them. They have money in their pockets. They have cards in their pocket. They have mobile phones. They can ring wherever, but their parents, and it's not just, you know, this is just common. Parents won't let their kids play out because of fear. Even though the world is a safer place, because of the light that people look out at the world with. You know, the news is always bigging up the disasters. And with Facebook, you know, it's shared on social media. Oh, I saw someone who looked suspicious, and next minute 1,000 people are shutting their windows because somebody somewhere in Beverly saw something that might have been suspicious. And we live in this climate that magnifies fear. It's the same in the church. I just want to ask you this question. What factors illuminate your inner world? Are your emotions and your thoughts influenced by the darkness of the world around you? By the problems, the difficulties, the pressure, the stress, the sickness? Or does the light of the Word of God in you overcome the darkness around you? David's confession was this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David didn't allow the darkness and the pressure and the problems of his outer world, the extreme difficulties he was facing. He didn't allow those things to illuminate the inner life of his heart and his thoughts and his soul. Because David was convinced from the word of God that God is good, that God knows everything that was happening to him, that God is all-powerful, that God loves him, that God wants to bless him in every situation. He knew that God was in control of his life. He believed that no one could snatch him out of God's hand. He actually believed that nothing could be brought into his life without God's permission. And so, in the words of Paul to the Romans, he believed that all things that happened to him would turn out for good in the end. That's what David believed. The Lord was his light. It didn't matter how dark it was outside, but God was his light. Now, some people have said to me at the time, well, you've got to be realistic, haven't you? I mean, you can't just live in cloud cuckoo land, you know, with your head in the clouds and hope for the best and all this religious stuff. What was the outcome of David's life? It could have been different, couldn't it? Do you know, his brothers could have succeeded in shunning him and making him feel that he was a failure. He could have been killed by Goliath or one of the Philistines. He could have been speared by Saul or captured by his army. Life didn't work out perfect for everybody. But because David had the Lord as his light, the outcome was that everything God promised for him came true. Why is that? It's because faith changes your reality. What you believe is what you will be walking in the future. David's circumstances came into line with the inner light in his heart. It took a while. It might take a while for you, maybe 10 years for David, 20 years before everything fell perfectly into line. But he never lost that faith that what was written in the Word of God and what had been whispered into his heart by the Spirit of God would finally come to pass. It's the same for you. Your outward circumstances will come into line with your inner light. So if you have a negative, fearful attitude where you think it will all go badly, you know, you hear a noise in your car, or you're having work done on the house, or your health an issue, something happens and you think, oh, it'll probably go down this bad road, it's going to be difficult. Somehow what you believe actually shapes your future. Hebrews 11:33 says, faith gains what is promised. You can actually put that in the other way to say that doubt loses what is promised. And there are examples of people in the scripture. Saul is one of them. Abraham's father is another, who were promised great things by God. But because of their fear and their doubts, they actually didn't enter into what God had promised them. They could have had a different inheritance, but they didn't have the faith that brought it about. I told you the story of my mother telling me my dad got gout when he was 45 and I got it as well. Guess what happened when I got into my mid-40s? I started to get pain in my feet. I did. And the first thing into my head was, oh no, it must be what my mother said. It must be gout coming. And then I sort of caught myself thinking it. And I thought, I'm not going to have that. Because God is my father. I have a different spiritual DNA from my family. My inheritance flows from the line of heavenly blessing not from the broken dark line of normal family inheritance. I'm not going to have gout because God is my healer. And that is the light that day by day illuminates my inner life. I had a pain for a few weeks. I've never had pain in my feet since. I believe I will die without ever having gout because my light is different from the light of my family. But what is your light? You know, when you wake up in the morning and you're feeling poorly, you have a headache, you feel woozy, you remember that a few days ago you met someone that had the flu. What's the first thing in your head? Do you think, oh, I shouldn't have hugged that person. I shouldn't have met them. I'm catching what they've got. Is that the first thing that jumps into your head? And what do you do with that thought as it comes in? Or do you think as you wake up and you feel ill, is the first thing that comes out of your mouth, thank you, Lord, that you are my healer. With God, all things are possible. I can do everything through Christ who's with me. I will have a good day today. You know, we need to learn the promises of God, word by word. Write them down on flashcards, or get a flashcard app on your phone or something, so that you can learn them. You can memorize them so that at that moment when you run out of money, you know the promise about provision. At the moment you start feeling ill, you know the promise about healing. At the moment you're feeling afraid or lonely or whatever the issue is, you have the promise of God to lean back upon. You probably all know that just before Christmas, I got taken into hospital with appendicitis. And it's a great illustration, really, of this principle, the Lord is my light. Because, you know, the day before, I was feeling a bit flu-y and a bit like, you know, off colour, a bit of a temperature. I went to bed and I felt hot in the night. And I woke up and actually in the day I'd been packing a container. We had a rush container that had to go to Burkina Faso. And I don't normally pack containers, but I packed this one. So I was humping stuff up and down and under a tractor. And I woke up in the morning, I had a pain here. And I thought, oh, it's, you know, crawling under that tractor. Pulled a muscle. And I said to my wife, oh, it's a bit difficult when I bend down. And she said, oh, you need to get your mum to look at it. I said, I just pulled a muscle. I still felt a little bit hot and flu-y. I went to work as normal and I was sat there writing this sermon, this very one that I was going to preach on the Sunday. And about lunchtime, I thought, I'll just bob and say hi to my mum. I haven't seen her today. So I bobbed down and, you know, we're chatting. She goes, how are you? And I said, oh, I was loading that container yesterday. I think I pulled my side, you know, got a bit of a pain. And she said, oh, let's have a look. She felt in. She said, have you felt hot at all? I said, yeah, I did actually. But I didn't connect that. She said, I think you might have appendicitis. You better go and get it checked. And do you know, the first thought in my head was, no, I'm always healthy. God's with me. I don't have an appendicitis. Now, you know, I started off by saying that we live in the same world as everybody else. And our body will eventually wear out. Do you know, your hair changes colour and your skin gets wrinkly and your energy becomes less. And that is the world that we live in. We live in that world where your body does go wrong. But still, and I was going to talk about Paul's thorn in the flesh, but I had so much, I'll maybe do that next time because I've got a whole message. It's the same message, really, about that. But, you know, so the first thought in my head was, God blesses me. He doesn't give me things like that. But my mum was so strong, and then my wife rang and she said, did you talk to your mum? Oh, yeah, she said I should go to the hospital. I said, okay, I'll just pop down to the Beverly Hospital because it's only 200 yards away. And took my stuff. I was working on my talk there for 10 minutes. Then they saw me. The doctor goes, oh, I think it probably is. You better go to Hull. So I thought, no, I still don't believe it, honestly. So I drove to Hull because I thought I'll probably be coming back in a few hours. Parked round the back where you can park unlimited, even at Surf It Was. It was okay. And I had just stopped to pack a bag in case, you know. So I went into, you know what it's like in Hull? You're waiting for hours and hours, aren't you? I mean, I think the average wait is 5 or 6 hours there. So I walk in and they sit me down. Within about half an hour, this doctor comes and sees me. Actually, less than that. And, oh yeah, probably, we need to send you for a scan. 10 minutes later, I'm off for a scan. So I was having this MRI scan. And then I come back from this scan. And I'm sat in the room and there's a 16-year-old boy there and his mum, they've just come in and he's doubled over in agony with pain. He said, it's my appendix. And I, you know, honestly, I could, unless I touched it, I had no pain. Literally, if I bent over, I had a bit of pain. But otherwise, I was just there working on my tour, having a really normal day, and there's this boy like this in agony. And I said to his mum, oh, you know, is it the first time? And she goes, no, he's been, this is about the sixth time. He keeps having these attacks and coming in and they don't do anything with him. And so, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, that's hospitals today. And I just said up this prayer, God, if this is my appendicitis, I want the red carpet treatment because I'm your child. You know, no messing about. I just want the red carpet treatment. So I was there writing on my talk and he still hadn't seen the doctor and 3 hours had gone by for him, you know. And so shortly someone comes back and they say to me, oh yeah, you've got an appendicitis. We're going to operate shortly. Just sit here. There's this armchair and you've got a bed there. Lie down, just relax and we'll come and get you when you want. I go to the guy, well, is it all right if I fall? If I lie on the bed, I'll probably fall to sleep, you know. And he goes, yeah, you fall, just relax, have a good time. And if you're asleep, we'll wake you up, whatever. Well, I just had a fantastic night's sleep. I was so tired, you know, I work hard. Beautiful night's sleep. Woke up in the morning and thought, oh, they didn't take me last night. As soon as I woke up, this guy comes with a wheelchair and he goes, oh, we've come to take you for your operation. So I had this operation. Woke up, first thing I saw was the food trolley going by, and I was quite hungry by then. And the lady goes, oh, do you want a ham sandwich? I said, no, have you got anything better? She goes, I've got Hungarian goulash. And do you know, it was the most beautiful meal I've ever tasted. It was just fantastic. It really was. And the whole experience for me was a blessing. And I'd been planning anyway to take a few weeks at the start of this year to pray and fast without doing anything else but seeking God. And I think God was going, I'm just going to make sure you don't do anything but praying and fasting because you're not meant to lift anything for 6 weeks, are you, after your operation? And he goes, I'm just going to make sure you can start a week early. So I had a whole week and a half before Christmas just at home. And it was so quiet, all the kids were at school and my wife was at work. It was fantastic. And fantastic week holiday. Now I can't do anything physical, supposedly, for a few weeks. And, you know, I just see the blessing of God. And it's so easy. If you look at life through that circumstance, through that light that Jesus is with me, God loves me. He's in control of my life. Nothing can happen to me that is out of his will. Somehow that's how life works for you. Even the difficult things, you know, just at that same time, our boiler went wrong. And we don't have money for things like that. You know, we just scrape by month to month, really, you know, your boiler, it's a big thing, isn't it? Your boiler. Just at that time, the central heating boiler went wrong. We had no heating in the house, no hot water. And praise God for my dear mother. When she heard, she said, oh, don't worry, I'll just buy you a new one. What a blessing. But, you know, it's so easy to think, and there's a lot of people that have this attitude that the devil's coming in. And one thing goes wrong, you know, the same week my wife, the steering on her car broke, and that was £500 to fix that. And something went wrong on my car, which that will go into the garage tomorrow. I don't know how much that'll be. But all these things, don't they come at once? And so often people think, oh, the devil's really getting at me now. And somehow the devil sneaked in. And people, believers like you and me, we have fear of the devil. And I want to tell you, don't be afraid of the devil. Many believers have more faith in the devil's power to harm than in God's power to bless. And the devil is under Jesus' feet. He's actually under our feet as well. I love the story of Smith Wigglesworth. He had an experience where Satan himself appeared to him. I'll read what he wrote in his own words. He writes, "I was in bed with my wife Polly one night when a manifestation of evil filled the room. The spirit of fear gripped both of us. Polly was so frightened she couldn't open her eyes. I sat up in bed and there I saw the devil himself. I rubbed my eyes to be sure it was him. And then I said, 'Oh, it's only you.' And then I turned to Polly and I told her to go back to sleep because it was nothing important. And I laid my head back down on the pillow. Suddenly, an overwhelming sense of peace and love filled the room. And we had the most blessed sleep ever. Yes, the devil comes to try and disturb us, to seek to bring trouble into our life. I'm sure if Smith Wigglesworth had started engaging with the devil, he'd have ended up believing some of the lies that came from the pit of hell. He'd have given room and credence, even just a bit, and that brings something else into his life. But for Smith, as for David, the Lord is his light. It says in the scripture, 'He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world.' You don't need to listen to the devil. If he comes and attacks you, if he breaks your boiler, it's because God wants to give you a better one. If the steering on your car goes wrong, it's because God wants it fixing. He wants to bless you. David said, 'When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall.'" We need to fill our life with the light of God. Jesus said this, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness." If you have that negative, fearful attitude that the devil's coming in or things are going wrong, or your life will be filled with darkness. That's what Jesus said. But if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Your whole life, your family, your circumstances will be full of light. It's all about your outlook. Does your world look like that or that? Every circumstance, when you get the news that from the doctor that you're ill, the news from the garage that your car is broken down, is it that or is it that? Every day, every circumstance, that or that? We need to fill our mind with the Word of God. We need to fill our mouth with the worship of God. We need to fill our life with the presence of God. And fill our gaze with the beauty of God. David finished this wonderful psalm saying this, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen.